Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries again today. Let's come to the Father in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to praise you and worship you and thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for all the wonderful things you did for us on the cross through your Son. We thank you that you gave us all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We thank you you gave us all these wonderful promises, everything we need, everything to live a life of godliness and holiness. You've already given us all these things. Oh, Father, we praise you and thank you for the Word of God, which sets us free. You said, we shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. Well, Lord, the truth made me free over 20 years ago, and I want to thank you and praise you for it. As I teach your Word today, I ask you, Lord, to reveal these truths to others that hear it. They may walk in this wonderful anointing that you have provided. And I praise you and thank you for the Word of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now that we've been talking about you possess what you confess, you don't realize how many of us as Christians go around professing weakness, sickness, poverty, all these kind of things, and that's exactly what it brings. You know, many people have heard the Lord said in His Word, let the weak say they're strong, let the poor say they're rich. But they really don't believe that means what it says. But then again, some people have never heard those scriptures. They don't even know they're real. Lots of people in the churches, like I was, as a deacon, a Sunday school teacher, and everything else in the denominational church I was in, we never taught the powerful scriptures like Mark 11:23 that says you can have whatever you say with your mouth. You know, we never taught the magnificent scriptures that tells you that Jesus will heal you. But today I'm going to confirm some of these things to you from the Word of God. I'm going to show you what you can do. If you're sick or afflicted, I'm going to show you what Jesus has done for you. Your miracle is in your mouth and in your heart. When the Word of God becomes a part of your heart, your spirit, your inner being, then it will come out of your mouth. And when it comes out of your mouth, it will produce great and awesome results. Now, just to say it doesn't produce any results until it comes from the heart. But when you get it in you and it becomes a reality or a revelation to you that God's Word means what it says, you will walk in obedience to His Word. You'll walk holy before Him. You will not sin anymore. You'll stop that nonsense of sinning. You'll walk holy before God. And you'll see that no devil of hell can attach himself to you, and that you will have been given power over the enemy, and you don't have to be sick or afflicted, and then you can begin to live that magnificent, abundant life that John said in John 10:10, Jesus speaking. He said, I have come to give you life and give it to you abundantly. You will begin to be able to live in that wonderful realm. Now then, let's go to Isaiah 53, and I want to read verse 4 and 5, and I want to show you what they say. Now, this is over 700 years before Jesus came to the earth. But it says in Isaiah 53:4, surely He, talking about Jesus, hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him smitten of God and afflicted. Verse 5, but He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Now then, when you get a hold of those verses, when you find out that Jesus, when Jesus went to that cross for you, before He literally was nailed to the cross, He was beaten and bruised so that you might be healed. And then He went to the cross and died on it and poured out His blood, and then arose 3 days later to pay the total price for your sins so that you should die to sin and live unto righteousness. Now, if you will die to sin and live unto righteousness, then by His stripes you're healed. And you won't never have to be sick again. When you get a hold of this by faith, you will stop sinning, you'll walk in faith, and you'll begin to believe these promises, and you don't have to be sick. Praise the King. I'm talking about no sickness. Over 20 years have come and gone. I have not had one single sick day. Praise God for these promises. Because the first 45 years of my life, I didn't know these things. But the last 21 years of my life, I have known these things. And it has paid great and awesome dividends to walk in divine health the last 20 plus years. Wow! How much fun life is knowing you don't have to wake up tomorrow or next week with some kind of sickness and disease or some kind of pain. All you've got to do is believe the Word of God. If you'll believe it, then you'll understand what He said and what He did for you in Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Then I want to take you to a place in Matthew 8 and verse 16 and 17, which makes it so clear, because He's talking here. It says in verse 16, when evening was come, they brought to Him many that were possessed or demonized. And He cast out those spirits, those evil spirits, with a word and healed all the sick. And then it says, this happened to confirm what was written by Isaiah the prophet. And that's what we just read. That's what we just quoted in Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. He was coming to fulfill what was written in Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. And then in verse 17, it's so clear, listen to what it says, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself, Jesus, took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now, I don't know about you, but if Jesus took my infirmities or my sins, then there's not any reason for me to have to sin anymore. He clearly told me in the Word, when I get saved, I'm supposed to die to sin and live unto righteousness. And He said, I'm supposed to leave this old man of mine, this beast. The old man is supposed to stay dead. Paul says over and over in the book of Romans, this body of ours is supposed to be dead. We're to leave it dead. And therefore, how in the world can a dead man sin? Well, a dead person can't. You have to resurrect this body back from the dead and start walking back in carnality to sin. But if you leave your body dead and you walk in the Spirit of the living God, in other words, you let Christ, who lives in you, live through you, then you're walking in the Spirit. And when you're walking in the Spirit, no sickness or no disease can touch the Spirit of the living God that's living in your flesh, because your flesh is dead. And no demon can attack a dead man. He can't make a dead man sick. Praise God. It's just wonderful. But it says here in Matthew 8, verse 17, it's so clear that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself, Jesus, took our infirmities or our sins or our weaknesses and bare our sicknesses. Now again, if Jesus took our sins, our infirmities, and bear our sicknesses, then why in the world do so many Christians today get sick? Well, I'll tell you why. It's sin. They resurrect this old man, they bring it back from the dead, and they start living in it, and of course, then that body of theirs begins to sin. They're not walking in the Spirit. They're not letting the Spirit of the living God walk through them, but they're walking, and they're letting the Spirit of God be subdued or whatever, or quenched. And so if He's not in control, then the flesh is in control. And of course, the flesh is what the devil attacks, and he makes your body sick. So you need to crucify the flesh and let Christ live in you. And then Jesus Himself will have taken your infirmities and bear your sicknesses, so you don't have to be sick. That is a wonderful thing to learn. And then in 1 Peter 2:24. Now let's go and see there, but I want to start with verse 21 in 1 Peter chapter 2, and I want to show you what that says. Now when we go to 1 Peter 2:21, you got to realize that this is telling us exactly what we should do and where we should live. For in 1 Peter 2:21, it says, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow His steps." Now then He tells us that we're supposed to follow in His steps, and then He doesn't leave anything for us to guess at. He starts in verse 22 with, "who did no sin." Now, if we're supposed to walk in His steps and He did no sin, then how much sin are you supposed to do? None. If you've had people tell you all your life you're just an unworthy sinner saved by grace and you cannot not sin, you need to let them know that they don't believe the Word of God. The Word of God says this is the example that He left for us, that we should follow His steps, who did no sin. So you're not supposed to do no sin. It says, neither was guile found in his mouth. Guile or deceit. He was not deceitful. No guile was found in his mouth. None. You may have to put a piece of duct tape over your mouth to meet that criteria, but you can do it because Jesus said this is the example you are to follow. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered even, he did not even threaten back, but he committed himself to him that judges righteously. Well, who did he commit him to? Committed him to the Father. The Lord, when you commit that person to him that judges righteously, or the Father knows the whole circumstance. He can take care of it. And then in verse 24, 1 Peter 2:24 says, who his own self, talking about Jesus, bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins. How does he see us? We are dead to sin. He says, since we're dead to sin, therefore we should live unto righteousness. Now then, if we live unto righteousness, if we meet all of the criteria there in those few verses, then he says at the end of the statement, by whose stripes you were healed. A lot of people quote that one little part of that verse, by whose stripes you were healed. Hey, you were healed if you meet the criteria. If you're going around sinning and you've got guile or deceit in your mouth, you're lying, cheating, you're doing all these things, you're threatening people, you're speaking evil of people and all these things, let me tell you, you will not be able to walk in divine health. You have to meet the criteria of the Word of God if you want to walk in divine health and you want to walk with no sickness and disease. Most people don't even believe it's possible to walk in divine health. But let me tell you, Jesus said it is. It's a whole lot better to never have to have anybody pray for you for sickness than to have to have them pray for you. The ideal thing is to walk in John 10:10. Jesus said, I came to give you life and give it to you abundantly. And if he bore your sickness and removed your disease, he didn't plan for you to be sick. But if he also said that I have bore your sins in my body on that tree, that you are dead to sin, so he said, therefore you should live unto righteousness. If you meet that criteria, then whose stripes you were healed, and you don't have to be sick and be a Christian. Praise the Lord. We'd like to invite you to call us for entire teachings on these subjects. 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. Or you can contact us on the web, www.tlsm.org. TLSM.org. And there you can order free and postpaid tapes and outlines and everything. And it's all there. And remember, Jesus is Lord.